Good morning. Today's Daf and Sota is Zayin Ron Vav Amud Beis, and we're finishing up yesterday, a difficult sugya yesterday, confounding variables. When I say confounding variables, meaning, generally speaking, what we're looking to test over here is whether or not she was with the man. She received a warning from her husband. She every time I say the word she, obviously we're talking about Sota over here. She received a warning from her husband. She secluded herself with that man that she was warned not to be with. And now what? And now that's all the information that we have. So she is now a Sota. Her status is, despite the fact that it's a suffix, we don't know what happened in that room, but the status-wise, however, she's a sota, suffix, but still, status-wise, she's a sota, meaning she's usher. She cannot be with her husband, and the only way to create shalom bayis and to create and to remove the usher is to go to the Beis HaMikdash and have her drink from the mayim hamarim. With that stated, so there are going to be possibilities that she's going to be drinking the water. She'll be in the Beis HaMikdash, she'll drink the water, and nothing instantaneously. No immediate reaction. Now, of course, that's confusing, and Rabbi Shimon, as we saw yesterday, and we're going to just see again in a moment, Rabbi Shimon is extraordinarily bothered by this idea. How could it be that they're confounding variables? In this Masechta, we're going to be talking about Zechuyos. She's got merits. In other words, despite the fact that she made a mistake, but she also has got merits as well. Like I said yesterday, right? It's true by every one of us, meaning that we make mistakes and we do good things. And everyone is a composition of both. And so over here with our Sota, it's okay. So she made a really bad error, but at the same time, she has the chuyos as well. So as we're going to be seeing over the course of this Masechta, so those chuyos now are going to be able to hold in abeyance the punishment. Obviously, with the drinking of the water, and if, in fact, she was with the man while secluded with him, so obviously there are going to be consequences. But zechuyos are going to be tola. If, in fact, she has zechuyos, so that's going to put everything on hold, and you may not see instantaneous results. We discussed yesterday the sheet of Rebbe, nisnavna de Rebbe. According to Rebbe, what you are going to see almost instantly is that even though she may not die immediately, but you'll start to see her... I was going to say decompose. Not the best word choice, but in other words, you'll start to see her fading, and withering. So that's the opinion of Rebbe. Anyway, Rebbe Shimon, we saw yesterday, was perfectly against this idea. In other words, he thought that it cannot be that there's going to be any kind of confounding variable, because if there are confounding variables for Rebbe Shimon, right? This was his main point yesterday. If in fact there are going to be confounding variables, so now what? She drank the water, she didn't die. Oh, okay, fine. She's innocent, right? I don't know. In other words, there are other women who drank the water, did commit the adultery and died, but just not immediately. So maybe this one also committed adultery. Meaning what people are going to do is that people are going to be critical and cynical about the whole process. And Rabbi Shimon says, I can't tolerate that. Good. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And in just a moment, we're going to go back to Rashita again. The Gemara yesterday focused its entire day with a statement by Rav Amram, supported by Rav Sheshes. And that is that there's another confounding variable, and that's going to be witnesses. B'medina Sayam. Right? The witnesses actually saw the act. In other words, there was warning, there was seclusion, and witnesses saw the act. Just happens to be right now that they're overseas. And so right now, and right now she goes to the base and makes sure she drinks. But there were witnesses. It just simply never showed up. So according to Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Amram, so that's another variable, which will, what will do is it will take away any of the effects of the mime. Mime are not going to be bodek if there are edim that are overseas. Okay. So, and we spent the entirety of yesterday's daf litigating that very issue. And so now we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. We're on Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Sheshes Olam Mitame. So now we're going to have a brisa that supports exactly this point. We spent the entirety of yesterday's daf litigating it. And now the Gemara, and this is typical for the Gemara. After a lengthy discussion, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, we have a brisa. Which, by the way, if we would have brought the brisa at the beginning of the entire sugya, It kind of would have ended the discussion. But to be fair, the Gemara says the Brisa agrees with Rav Sheshes, but not because of Rav Sheshes' pasuk. If you recall yesterday, Rav Sheshet darshan it from the Eid Ein Ba. And now the Gemara now is going to know that this Brisa seeks a different source. Rashi over here writes, yeah, you know why the Brisa didn't use the Pasuk of Eid Ein Ba? Because, as we already pointed out, in other words, we're weak into the Masechta, and we all know, we need that Pasuk. The Eid Ein Ba tells me that I don't have two witnesses by the Tumah, but, rather I have one witness by the Tumah. And if you have one witness by the Tumah, so he's going to be Neman. So we need that Pasuk for a different Drasha altogether. So we're going to a different Pasuk. This is now going to be, Perikei Pasuk Chavches. I'm reading the Pasuk inside. It's not in the Gemara. V'im lo nitma, Rashi brings it down. V'im lo nitma yishau tohora hi, v'nikasa v'nizra zara. So if she is not Tamea, and she is tohora. Now already you can hear that, that's redundant. She's not Tamea, and she's tohora. So then, if that's true, then v'nikata, she'll be vindicated, and v'nizra zara, she'll go back to her husband, she'll even have a child with her husband. Okay. So now the Gemara darshins tohora, v'lo she'esh la'idim v'nizayam. In other words, what is that extra word Torah coming to teach me that there weren't Edom? Meaning, if there were Edom, they just happen to currently now be b'medina sayam, but there were Edom who saw it, Mayim is not going to be bodek. That's number one. U tahora, now there's an extra vav. Now, not only is the word Torah redundant, the vav in front as well. Velosha tata lazchus. If in fact, she was Tamea, you're not going to see an immediate response because you have zechuyos. And finally, he, velo she yisu, v'yitnu ba, Moses belavana. And when we have the word he, so what is that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude somebody who everybody knows she committed adultery. In other words, when I say everybody, the Gemara's language is describing women who are weaving by the light of the moon. Okay, and they're gossiping. You've heard me say this already so many times. In other words, they shouldn't be gossiping, but Lamaisa, the point is that the women are talking. Everybody knows. And despite the fact that there were no witnesses to what occurred, but the women, all the women seem to know. If it's quote-unquote common knowledge, so then the Maim is not going to be bodik, because the whole point of the Maim is that there's something which we're unsure about. And we need clarity on that issue. For that, the Mayim is going to be bodik. But if everybody knows, so then the Mayim is not going to be bodik. Okay. So over here, utahorahi, we had not one, not two, but three different drushes from the word tahorahi. And one of the drushes is that if I have Edom in Medina Siam, so then the Mayim is not going to be bodik. Good. So this is a Braisa, which is in total agreement with what we said yesterday in the name of Rav Sheshes. It just happens to be that the Braisa uses a different pasuk to arrive at this conclusion. And finally, Rabbi Shimon, the heat of Darish, so Vaika Yesh La'idim in Medina Sayam. So the Gemara says, okay, now Rabbi Shimon's not Darish the Vav, right? In other words, from the Vav, what do we learn out amongst the three drashas? And that is Tliyas Ezchus. Now, as we already said yesterday, Zaf, as I already previewed in the beginning of this morning's Zaf, Rabbi Shimon is not subscribed to this idea of Tliyas Ezchus. There's no way that any Zechuyas are going to put punishment in abeyance. She will receive ramifications, repercussions immediately. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, he clearly doesn't darshan the Vav. Okay, so the Gemara says it's true. But we do have the word Tahora, meaning it's true you can skip over a Vav. Now when I say you, I don't mean you and I. I mean that there are Tanaim who skip over Vavs and don't darshan every Vav. That's fine. But you have the word Tahora, which is clearly redundant. And you have to darshan it. So the Gemara says, yeah. So Rabbi Shimon agrees to Edom in Medina Siam, which now, by the way, should put us in a little bit of a tailspin. Meaning, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara says is that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to no confounding variables. And now the Gemara just says, you know, yeah, Rabbi Shimon does subscribe to Edom in Medina Siam. If witnesses saw the event, but they just happened to be overseas, so then the Maim's not going to be bodek. So the Gemara just answers really quickly, lo shchicha. Yeah, that's true. He agrees with the point, but practically speaking, it's almost never going to happen. In other words, if in fact Edom saw it, they're going to go to Beis Din. They're going to report what they saw in Beis Din. In other words, they're not going to just then go on the next plane and head overseas and, you know what, I know what we saw was terrible, but, you know, we have our vacation. Now, it's so unlikely, it's so unusual, even though Rabbi Shimon agrees in theory that it's true, Edom in Medina Siam is going to take away the bedika power of the water, but it's just not going to happen. It's not practical. And Rashi points out over here, the last Rashi before the upcoming Mishnah, and I know in yesterday's daf, if you do chazar and recall and review yesterday's daf, so the Gemara said that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to no confounding variables. Not Tlias as a chus, not Adim b'medina sayam. And so Rashi says you can and should be a little bit confused. Yesterday, Rabbi Shimon held by no confounding variables. Today, Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, I don't agree to the Tlias as a chus, but I do agree to Adim b'medina sayam. So Rashi just simply says you're right. Meaning that the Gemara basically is rescinding its statement from yesterday. Rabbi Shimon, we're going to have to redact the statement. Rabbi Shimon doesn't reject all confounding variables. He just simply rejects the confounding variable of Tlias as a chus. But Rabbi Shimon would agree to Medina Siyam, but it doesn't bother Rabbi Shimon just simply because, practically speaking, it's almost never going to happen. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Sugya, really yesterday's daf, new Mishnah. Okay, and from here going forward now, what we're really going to do is that we are going to just ABCs. Step by step, we're going to go through what is the process of the Sota. So far in the Masechta, we had Kino, we had Stira. She was warned, she had seclusion. And now, what are our next steps going forward? Well, we all know where we're headed. We're headed to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to drink the water. She's going to drink the water. But there are steps that are involved, and the Mishnah is going to meticulously take us through each one of the steps. Ketzad. Ose la, molicha la basin shebo so makum. So step number one is we go to the local basin where she lives. Umosin lo shen tamid chachamim shami yavo ala bederach. Now from there, there's going to be escorts taking her to Yerushalayim. Escorted by two tamid chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda amir ba'ala neman ala. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's only going to be the husband that's going to take her, and no escorts are necessary to go from their hometown to Yerushalayim. All this is going to be discussed in the Gemara. We begin the Gemara right now. Trei v'iyu atalasa. So the Gemara does its math, and that is that, so let's see how many men are there. Well, you have the husband, and you have the two witnesses. That makes for a total of three. Okay? So, Lema Misaila Derav Damar Rav Yudam Rav Loshanu Ala B'ir Rav Abba Derech Adika Shlosha. Shem Yitzar Checha Mem Lene Kavan and Yitzar Checha Mem Yitzyakin Mem Erva. So the Gemara right now is pausing and saying, look, let's learn a little bit of Hilchus Yichud. Okay? Hilchus Yichud is that a man and a woman who are not permitted to one another cannot seclude together. The Gemara at the end of Kedushin, Pei Aleph, so it goes over all the halachas of Yichud. It's an Isser. Whether or not it's an Isser Daraisa, Isser Darabanan, is open for debate. The Gemara does quote Psukim. Anyway, there's an Isser of Yichud. A man and a woman cannot be together if in fact they're not permitted. Now, mind you, by the way, a caveat that we all know, just speaking it out, is that even though a husband and wife cannot be together while she's an Ida, there is no Isser of Yichud. Okay? But over there, you have concepts of Paspasalo. Anyway, but over here, there is Isser. The husband and wife cannot be together. Once she's a Sota, so as we already pointed out, now for a week, a Sota is Usser to her husband. And so therefore, now there's an Isser. And it's not like Nida, where it's going to be Mutter a week, 2 weeks from now. But in other words, over here, at least for the foreseeable future, she's going to be Usser to him. Now, granted, by the way, she's going to drink the water if, in fact, she walks away from it if she survives the drinking of the water, so then her and her husband are going to be reunited. Beautiful. But until that point in time, there's Isser, therefore there's an Isser Yichud. Now, the Gemara is suggesting that, oh, I get it. Why do we have two escorts that are going with her? This supports the statement of Rav. Rav Yehuda Marav back in Kedushin said that the Isser of Yichud is going to be removed when there are multiple men. When I say multiple men, how many? So the Mishnah there in Kedushin says two. That's true, but when you're traveling, you need three. Why? So Rav Yehuda Marav says, because when traveling, so you need three men and the one woman, then and only then is there no Isser of Yichud, because we have to account for the fact that one of them may need to go to the bathroom, and if there are only two men that are there and one goes to the bathroom, so then you're left with the one man and the one woman, and that could lead to problems. So therefore, you have three men, so that the event that one goes to the bathroom, they're still going to have two that's with her. Okay. So that's the Gemara's proposal. The Gemara says, okay, that was a nice thought, meaning we're not rejecting the halacha, we're just simply saying that that's not the basis of our Mishnah. Lo. So the Gemara says, no, over here, what do we need? We need witnesses. Meaning, witnesses for what? That if in the event that the husband caves into his Yetzirah and is with his wife en route to the Beis HaMikdash, so then we're done. meaning that she can't, at that point in time, she can't drink the water because the water is not going to tell us anything. The husband has to be menuka min ha'avon. And so as a result of that, so the witnesses are going to go to Yerushalayim and just simply report, look, don't bother. In other words, they were together, they were intimate with one another while on their way, and so that's the purposes of the witnesses. Okay. And it's not a yichud consideration. And again, I know I'm repeating, but now that we're rejecting the halacha by yichud, it's just that that's not what is governing our Mishnah. Meaning the yichud point is a good point and halachically valid. It just happens to be that our Mishnah is not, that's not what's driving our Mishnah. So Talmid Chacham Emin Kulei Amalo, Lema Misayeh, Leili Yidach the Rav Damar, Rav Yudam Rav, Lo Shanu Elak Sherim, Ava Pritzim, Afilo Asara Nami Lo. Another halacha in yichud, as quoted by Rav, and that is that the only time that two or three men are acceptable, again, two at home, three on the road, the only time that two or three men are acceptable if the men are ksherim. On the other hand, if they're prutzim, if the men do not have a high moral ground, so then it could be even 10 men, and that will not resolve the yichud issue. In fact, the Gemara tells a story, the Gemara tells in Kedushin, as we hear as well, Maisa Hayavotzi Asara Bemita. Now, the Gemara tells the story in real short order, and I'm not going to elaborate too much on the story over here. 10 men found a way to be mezana with one woman. Okay, let's just leave it like that. Okay, in other words, if the men are not of high moral standard, so then even 10 men is not going to remove the problem of yichud. And so, that's why Mishnah says that the Talmidei Chachamim, right? And the Gemara says once again, not necessarily, lo. Achainu Talmidei Adela Asuribe. No, over here the issue is Hasra. In other words, the reason why they have to be Talmidei Chachamim is so that they can issue a proper Hasra. This husband and wife are Hasra to one another, and so the Hasra could be understood over here simply as they shouldn't have relations with one another, and these Talmidei Chachamim are going to issue a warning not to be with one another because there's an Issur to do so. And only they know how to issue a proper warning. However, if you take a look at Rashi over here, that does not seem to be how Rashi understands it. Rashi's understanding of the warning over here, not warning Lagabe Onish, but warning Lagabe Mayim. Meaning, Rashi writes, I'm paraphrasing, but Rashi writes that the Talmidei Chachamim are going to be telling this couple, look, don't be intimate with one another. Because if you're intimate with one another, then the Mayim are no longer going to be a bodek. The mime is going to be ineffective, and then the whole trip is for naught. So in other words, the hasra over here is just warning them, if you're intimate with one another, the water is not going to do anything, and there's no point in going. Okay, that's Rashi's understanding. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bala. So Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, so over here, Abraisa. So we are going from their hometown to Yerushalayim with or without escorts. According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, with escorts. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no escorts needed. And over here, the Braisa is going to give us a little bit more on this back and forth. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Abayla Neman Mikava Chomer. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, the husband's going to be believed, meaning he'll be trusted. And how do I know that? Let's make an argument. Amani Tashi Bikaris Bala Neman Allah Sotashi Balav. Look, Olshakane. Look, when a husband and wife are prohibited to another through the Isser of Nida. Nida is an Isser Kares. And yet we are trusting under those circumstances. In other words, the husband and wife can be in isolation with one another. They can be misyached. And so, and we're talking about a serious Isser of Kares. So over here, when the Isser is not that serious, for sure we could trust the husband. That is the argument of Rav Yehuda. V'rabanan. So, he anosenes. And the Chachamim say, that's so funny. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that argument and I'm going to flip it right on its head. And that is neither the Karis Chamirele, Sota, Delav, Lo Chamirele, Velo Mehemen. Just the opposite. Because of the severity of Nida, so therefore we're going to trust the husband. Meaning knowing that if he in fact is intimate with his wife while she's a Nida, so he understands that these are extraordinarily serious ramifications. He's going to withstand temptation. On the other hand, once the Isser gets downgraded to a lav, i.e. the Isser of Sota, so then the husband's going to think to himself, look, I know it's bad, but it's not that bad. It's not kares. And so therefore, I could just take this very argument and flip it right on its head. Rav Yehuda mikavach chomer maisala, Rav Yehuda mikra maisala. Now the Gemara asks a very technical question. Rav Yehuda says that no escorts are necessary to go from their hometown to Yerushalayim. Rav Yehuda generated this halacha from a kavach chomer. I'm about to quote a brisa right now that it's not a kavach chomer, but rather it's a pasuk. D'tanya, we learned on the brisa of Avias Yisho al Kohen. So min atari ish mevias Yisho aval amru chachamim. Most of loshen tamid chachamim shem yavol abederech. So according to the Tanakhama, so min haTorah, no escorts are necessary. However, midrabban, an escort of two tamid chachamim, so that they are not intimate on the way. Rabbi Yosi, Amar Baal Neman, Alav Mikav Chomer, Ma Nida Shi, because Baal Neman Alav Sotzi Shi, Balav Lo Kol Shekein. So then Rabbi Yehuda makes his Kav Chomer. I'm not going to go over it again. We just went over it moments earlier. Amru Lo, Im Amar Benida Shekein Yesh Laheter, Tomer Besotzi Shein Laheter. So over here, a rejection of the Kav Chomer. In fact, how can you compare Nida and Sota? Interesting. Moments earlier when we rejected the Kav Chomer, it's because of the levels. Over here, rejection of the Kav Chomer, not because of levels, but rather because of, let's take a look at the duration. When it comes to the Isser of Nida, so Nida, Yesh Laheter, meaning wait a week, wait 2 weeks, so she'll be mutter in short amount of time. But by Sota, there's not going to be a heter, at least now for the foreseeable future. Again, down the road, I mean that figuratively and literally. So down the road, there may be a heter, but right now, currently, there's no heter. So over there by Nida, you can navigate because you know you have a week and she'll be mutter to you. So therefore, that'll help you withstand temptation, right? The concept of pas besalo. But by Sota, no? Okay, so pas besalo. Pas besalo is bread in the basket. In other words, when you have bread in the basket, you're not going to be hungry. Even if right now, currently, you're not eating. In other words, it's psychological. So the besota she'ein la heter. But when it comes to the sota ain la heter, so there's not going to be a heter. So you do not have that downplaying of anxiety. And in other words, you're going to be more tempted to violate the iser. So, and Omer, Maim Genuvim Imtaku, and then in the end of the Pasuk is Velechem Sesarim Yinam, Pasuk and Mishle. And so therefore, stolen water is sweeter. And so, while they're on their way to Yerushalayim, and now she's usher to him, and the Isser is not going to go away anytime soon, so now, and once something is usher, there's a greater temptation, so just the opposite. The Gemara says, no, of course you need escorts. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer min haTorah, ha'ish mevis ishto lakon shenemar ve'evish ha'ish es ishto. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't understand all this discussion over here. We have a pasuk. So, and the pasuk says, a man brings his wife to Yerushalayim. And you don't need escorts, the pasuk says so. So what just happened? The Bryce said, it's a little bit confusing. It's a technical point, but it's a little bit confusing. Rabbi Yehuda says that the husband needs no escorts. Why? So first he argues a kavachomer, and then he quotes a pasuk. Which one is it? So the Gemara says, Amalu kavachomer b'resho parchua, v'had amalu kra. Okay, it's what we all would have guessed. And that is, he tried the Kav HaChomer. Again, the Kav HaChomer is an argument. You present an argument. Sometimes it's accepted. Sometimes it's rejected. That's how arguments go. So, right, there's logic to it, but there's also counter-logic to it. Point, counterpoint. That's Kav HaChomers, in a nutshell. So he tried it. He saw that it wasn't accepted. It got rejected. And over the course of today's daf, we saw not one, but two different reasons why it got rejected. And so, okay, good. Enough with the Kav HaChomer. I have a pasuk. Okay, with a pasuk, the pasuk is not subject to rational arguments. Meaning, if the Torah says something, that's it. Okay. So, and obviously, by the way, I say that there's nothing else to say about it. Obviously, the chachamim would counter with, okay, we know the pasuk and the Torah, but here's our other considerations. But still, that is the trending of Rabbi Yehuda going from a kav chomer to a pasuk. Okay, now Rabbi Yehuda. Hainu Tanakama. Now, Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama are basically saying the same thing. Tanakama agreed with Rav Yehuda. Tanakama of the Braisa, not the Mishnah. So, Ikebenayu Aval Amru. So, the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. They start at the same point fundamentally, but then from there, where do we go? According to the Tanakama, fundamentally, the husband takes his wife to the Beis Hamikdash. No escorts necessary. But according to the Tanakama, the story doesn't end there. The Chachamim then insisted on bringing two Talmidei Chachamim. Even though min haTorah, there doesn't need to be escorts, but the Chachamim felt, look, prudent best practices to bring escorts in order to make sure that they are they're behaving all the way to Yerushalayim. And meanwhile, Rav Yehuda at the end of the brisa, starting point, min haTorah no escorts are necessary, and the Chachamim didn't require escorts according to Rav Yehuda. Okay.
Is the risk that she'll try to seduce, and that's the risk?
They're just intimate with one another. Seduction, no seduction, meaning he's just, in other words,
taking her Yerushalayim to be a
student. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if she convinces him and seduces him, so maybe he'll change his mind.
No, the problem is that if they're intimate, in other words, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. In other words, with or without her seduction. So if they're intimate with one another, the mime doesn't do anything anymore.
It negates
the effect of the water, period. That's the issue. And now they go to Yerushalayim. And now here comes the intimidation. Me'aymim aleha. So basically what we do is that we put a lot of fear into her. We instill a lot of fear into her. What's the purpose over here? To get her to admit. In other words, right now, we would much rather an admission than to have to go through the whole process of the sota. And basically they try to speak hard and soft to her at the same time. Right? It's obviously a balance. But we're trying to get an admission over here. And so being that in the course of my lifetime, I've never successfully got an admission out of anyone, and that's not true. I got a kid to admit cheating once. But anyway, they say, look, the fact that you gave into temptation and were with another man, in other words, it's excusable. Now, I'm using the word excusable over here in the context of our Mishnah, not to be taken out of context. Meaning, look, the Chachamim say to her, I can understand. There's the wine, there's the levity, there's the immaturity, there's the bad influences in the bad neighbors. Meaning, okay, so you did it. Just, in other words, now's the time to admit it. And also, you know what's going to happen now? We're going to write out the Parsha of Sota, we're going to put it in the water, and the name of Hashem is going to get erased. And we'd like to avoid that. Which basically now you know, the Mishnah is telling us what we're looking to avoid over here. And we say things that shouldn't be heard. Now, obviously, the Mishnah over here is really cryptic, saying things that shouldn't be heard. But don't worry. The Gemara is going to speak out what are the things that are being said that nobody should hear. But they're spoken out anyway. Okay. Im amra tamea ani. Now, if all this persuasion works and she says, okay, I'm ready to admit it. Before drinking the water and before subjecting herself to the water, she just simply admits it. So under those circumstances, shoveres ksuvasa. So what we do is we're shoveres. We write a shover. We write a receipt. Beginning of tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing this very point. Generally speaking, what happens is that once debt is paid up, so what you do is you just simply tear up the note. You don't write receipts, typically. And over here, we write a receipt. Beginning of tomorrow's daf. And she leaves her husband. Meaning that, again, her admission does not dissolve the marriage immediately. In other words, obviously, a get is necessary. But in other words, but this will induce the divorce. Now, if she maintains her innocence, malano sola shara mizrach. So what we do is we take her to the entrance of the Har HaBayis. L'shar Nikanor. Now we're going to the Shar Nikanor. The Shar Nikanor is the eastern gate that opens up into the Azara. Rashi over here spends a lot of time describing the lentil and the entrance to the Shar Nikanor. See Rashi over here for more description. Shisham Mashkin es Asotos, Umitarn es Yoldos, Umitarn es Amitzarayim. A lot of things happen over here. Number one, sotas are going to be drinking the water right here in the Shar Nikanor. Also, taharas hayoledes, a woman gave birth. Her tahara is going to be occurring there as well at that entrance of Shar Nikanor. And also, matarnas mitzarayin, tsaras also is going to receive a tahara over there. Okay. Why the Mishnah mentions these other activities, meaning these are good points, but don't seem to be salient to our discussion over here. Again, that the Gemara is going to discuss. Now what's going to happen is that the Kohen is going to take her clothing and tear it. Okay, there's, Rashi describes over here, he's gonna, take the, to her clothing by the neckline and tear it over there. Now, if they tear that's fine. And im nifremu, if they get shredded, that's also fine as well. Achu megalas liba, and some of her chest is going to be revealed. So, sir, sa'ara, her hair is going to be undone. Rabbi Yehuda amri, maya liba na lo, ayem megaleh, v'yem ayasar na lo, yasor ser. Rabbi Yehuda says, now, these things need to be litigated a little bit more consideration. If she, let's say she's beautiful, so then we're not going to reveal her. And if her hair is nice, we're not going to reveal that as well. Haisa miskaseh, belevanim miskaseh, b'shcharim. If she's wearing white clothing, beautiful clothing, so they're going to change her into clothing that is not as beautiful. So, hayala klei zahav, vikat li'os. She has jewelry, golden jewelry. And Rashi gives a lengthy description over here. It's a form of a pin or a necklace. So, nizamim, so earrings, nose rings, vitaba'os, right, regular rings on the fingers. Ma'avir mimene kedei lanavla, v'achar kach mevi chevel ha'mitzvah. So we take them off of her. We do not want her to be attractive at that point in time. And we tie her up with Hevel HaMitzri, a rope made out of Egyptian wicker. V'koshel HaMala Midada, tying it above, right above her chest, so that when the clothing is torn, so the chest itself is not going to be revealed. V'chol HaRos HaLeros BaLeros. Now, anyone who wants to come and see, by all means, meaning a spectacle is made of this. Notable exception is going to be any one of her hired work. I say hired work, or probably over here owned work. In other words, her slaves. Her slaves cannot see her like this. Why not? So, because what they are going to do, the slaves are going to do, is they're going to embolden her. In other words, she is a she's a mistress to her slaves. In other words, she's a boss. And so under normal circumstances, so she has a certain persona that she has to have in front of her avadim. And one of being tough and brave and strong. In other words, you're the leader. She's the leader of her house. She's the head of her household. And what's going to happen now is that at this scene, at this unbelievably dramatic scene, so if she sees her avadim over there, it's going to embolden her. In other words, because she has to be strong and brave in front of her slaves. And the truth of the matter is right now, we don't want her to be strong and brave. Meaning, if in fact she committed adultery, we want her to admit it. So anything that would embolden her, so we're not going to have there. And if that means her slaves are going to be there, and that'll embolden her, so they're not going to be there.
What's the benefit of admitting it is the less painful death?
The Mishnah said, the benefit of admitting is that we don't have to erase Hashem's name.
She spared
a death also.
She is spared death. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. I'm sorry. To be clear. In other words, she's not going to be. If she admits it, she's not going to be put to death. Put to death requires witnesses who gave her a warning, issued a warning immediately beforehand. In other words, there is a lot of protocol in order to receive the actual death penalty. In other words, the act itself is subject to the death penalty. But without the witnesses and warning, there's not going to be a death penalty. So admission will not result in execution. Okay, good. So the v'chol arot saliros, we did that. V'chol anashim mutar saliros, so shenamar v'nevasu kol anashim v'lo sasena kizimat chena. And now, quoting the pasuk in Yecheskel, in other words, we're going to encourage women to be there and to see it. In other words, it'll be a teaching moment for everybody, to say the very least. Okay. Aminahani mili. Okay, we are on Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara now wants to know, so the that this idea of Malin Osola Basin Agadol Shibur Shlayim. In other words, which basin we're going to take her to? The big one, right? The Lahavdil, but the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. And as Rashi points out over here, you know there are other courts over there as well. There's a court of 23. There's actually a couple courts of 23. But it has to be the Beis Din Hagadol. So, So what we're going to do is Gzeirah Shavah. It's a classic Gzeirah Shavah, taking us to the Parsha of Zakin Mamre. Ksiv Hacha over here by Sotah says, V'asal La'akon is Kol HaTorah. Uksiv Hacha Ma'api HaTorah Sher Yerucha, the Parsha of Zakin Mamre. Parsha Shoftim. Ma'alahal and Zakin Mamre, just for those who don't know. So, the rebellious age. One of the members of the Sanhedrin, after the Sanhedrin voted on an issue, One of the members of the Sanhedrin went home and said, look, the Sanhedrin voted on the issue, and here's where the majority went, and I don't care. In other words, I'm insisting that this is the correct halacha, despite the fact that now it goes against the Sanhedrin and their vote. So that is the Zaken Mamre, and subject to the death penalty. So the pasuk says by Zaken Mamre, where is his case going to get litigated? Back by Sanhedrin. So Api HaTorah Asher Yerucha, Mala Halan B'Shivan Ve'echa. Now there, it's 71. It's the Beis Din HaGadol. It's the Sanhedrin. In the Parsha of Zaken Mamre, the pasuk says, Asher Yagid Lecha Min HaMakom Ha'o. It's got to be that place. Okay. Just as an interesting aside, we make this point numerous times. The words Yerushalayim are not mentioned in the Torah. Meaning the fact that we have a Beis HaMikdash, and not only is it the Makom HaShchina, but it's also the Makom of the Beis Din. The fact that it's in Yerushalayim, that is, the Torah only describes it as that place, Min HaMakom Ahu, or the place where I will show you. But Yerushalayim itself is not mentioned in the Torah. Okay, and obviously, that's a sheer in of itself why that is. But anyway, Min HaMakom Ahu is definitely a reference to Sanhedrin, and since we know that's true by Zaken Mamre, so it's also going to be true now by the Sota as well. So Afkan Shivim Ve'achad. Now Ma'aymim Alaha. Okay, and now intimidation. Urim Inu Kedarsha Ma'aymim Alaha Shalot Tishta Kach Ma'aymim Alaha Shetishta Omrim Labiti Imbar Lecha Adavah Shetarat So Imdi Abarech Ushasi Lefi Shein Ma'aym Amarim Domim Ela Sam Yavi Shemunach Al Basar Chai Im Yei Shamaka Mechal Chav Yared Im Ein Shamaka Ein Mo'o Klum. So the Brisa tells us that we encourage you to drink. Drink it, you're fine. And look, if nothing happened in that room and you weren't with that man, so the drink is basically going to be like, it won't have any effect. Okay? I know I read a lot of the Gemara, but basically, it's samyavish. It's like putting it's putting some sort of salve on a wound. If the wound is not open, it's not going to hurt at all. It won't do anything to you. Okay? And so obviously over here, we are bothered. In other words, the Mishnah says, we're basically trying to get her to admit and cop a plea, not a plea, but in other words, but to make an admission that she did it. And we're trying to get her not to drink. And this Bryce over here is going in the absolutely opposite direction. Encourage her to drink. Well, which one is it? So the Gemara says, Lokasha, kan kodim shenimcha megillah, kan lacher shenimcha megillah. So the Gemara says it's really not that complicated. It depends where we are in the proceedings. If we are before the Shem Hashem is put into the water and before erasure, so look, we're trying to prevent that. So obviously, any time before that, we're begging her, we're pleading with her, admit it, so that we don't have to go through this. Once we take Shem Hashem, we put it in the water, now we are past the point of erasure. So now at that point in time, so now we're basically going to say, now you're drinking. And we're going to encourage her to drink. Ve'omer lefaneha, Tanu Rabbanan, Omer lefaneha dvarim shel Haggada, u'maisim shiru b'ksuv v'marishonim. Okay. So now, the Mishnah says, as part of our encouragement plan, we are going to tell her things that shouldn't be heard. Okay, that was the Mishnah. Now we have the Gemara, quoting a Braisa, where it's going to tell us the things that we're going to tell her that really, it's going to be quite uncomfortable to say, but we're going to say it. And we're going to tell her Agadata. And episodes of what happened b'ksuvim harishonim in the earlier writings. Now it's interesting. Earlier writings over here is a reference to the Torah. So asher chachamim megidu velo kichado me'avosam. That which the chachamim said and which was not denied, not rejected by our forefathers. In other words, we're going to tell stories about our forefathers and we're going to tell stories about what they did, which were incorrect. And, you know, a certain amount of caution and awe and reverence before describing any one of the indiscretions of our forefathers. In other words, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. We shouldn't speak about this lightly. And not only their indiscretions, but the fact that they admitted it. In other words, you make a mistake, you admit it. Okay? Now, for me to say it is no big deal. But to describe now our avos going through that process, that obviously is a really big deal. And so, Yehuda hoda v'labosh. So, umaya sofo nachol chayom abba. So, Yehuda made a mistake, an indiscretion with Tamar, And he said the word Sadka Mimeni, and he wasn't embarrassed. And eventually he received a portion of the world to come. So Reuven Hode Velobosh. Maya Sofanacha Chayal Maba. Same thing with Reuven. Reuven was also involved in an indiscretion. And he admitted it, and he received a portion of the world to, in the world to come. So young lady, or she doesn't have to be young. Now's the time to admit it. And you admit it, and fine. In other words, and you'll receive a portion of the world to come. Mascharan kitakamrinan. So the Gemara asks a question which the Gemara doesn't understand. Well, what's the reward? What do you mean, what's the reward? We just said. So ela mascharan ba'olam hazeh. So the fact that they're receiving a portion of the world to come, that's a given. What about in this world? So the lahem levadam nitna aretz v'lo avar zar b'socham. So as far as Yehuda is concerned, so Yehuda was given malchus. As far as Reuven was concerned, so the no one went through the land of Reuven, despite the fact that Reuven received land, which was quote unquote outside of Eretz Yisrael, but still no one passed through his land. Okay, so in other words, they only not only were rewarded in the world to come, but even in this world as well. Bishlam Yehuda Ashkechan Daodi Dichsev Vayakri Yehuda Vayomer Tzadka Mimeni El Reuven Min Alan Daodi. So the Gemara says, okay, I have textual proof that Yehuda had in fact admitted what he did and his shortcomings. So fine, but by Reuven, I don't have any psukim. I know what his indiscretion is. Now, I say, by the way, I know what his indiscretion is. I refer everyone to the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Nun Hei. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei, tells us that it's not clear exactly what Reuven's indiscretions were. Okay? So you read the pasuk in the Torah, it sounds like that he was with his stepmother. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei, brings down multiple viewpoints on what exactly was his indiscretion. And I'm sure we all know that Rashi and Chumash, Rashi brings down a Chumash, that the Rashi and Chumash brings a only one of the two positions, which is he didn't sleep with his stepmother, but he just simply took the bed of his mother and put it in the main tent of Yaakov after the death of Rachel. He felt that an indignity was done to his mother. Okay, regardless, okay, what exactly the indiscretion was, it was an indiscretion. But meanwhile, can you show me where in Chumash it actually says that he admitted that what he did was wrong? Unlike Yehuda, where we have a pasuk. So the Gemara says, okay, from the psukim themselves, you're right. We don't know that Reuven admitted it, but we have a mesorah, we have a tradition. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yochanan, my dichsiv, yechi Reuven v'alyamos. So this is now in the last portion of the Torah, v'zos abracha. And Yechi Reuven Valyamus Vizos Liuda. Now you'll notice that the bracha of Reuven and Yehuda are juxtaposed, one right next to the other. So Shekol Osan Shanim Shal Yisrael BeMidbar Yitzmasav Shal Yehuda Megul Galin. And so here now, famous medrash, today's daf, and that is that they were traveling through the desert, and they were taking the Aron. Parenthetically, they didn't just take the Aron of Yosef; they took the Aron of all the Shvatim. Just happens to be that in the Chumash itself, it only reports the Atzmos Yosef. But, midrashically, we know they took the Aronos of all the Shvatim. Now, as they're taking the Aron of Yehuda, the bones are shaking and jittering inside of the Aron. Okay? So, Megugalim ba'Aron. So, Ad Shamar Moshe B'kesh Lav Rachamim. What Moshe did is Moshe davened. Amar Lefanu Ribono Shel Olam Migarim L'Reuven Shehuda Yehuda. So now, who caused Reuven to admit wasn't that Yehuda? Vizos Liuda. Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. Okay, so basically, what's happening over here is as follows: is that Moshe is noting and petitioning on behalf of Yehuda, because the bones of Yehuda are rolling around. So the on behalf of Yehuda. In other words, because Yehuda admitted what he did, and Yehuda also caused Reuven to make an admission as well. V'zosli Yehuda, the pasuk says, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. So what Moshe is doing now, basically what we're doing is that we are cutting up the pasuk, and with each one of the phrases of the pasuk, it's basically understood as a petition from Moshe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, can you can we help Yehuda out in terms of full tshuva? So Shem Hashem call Yehuda al Evra l'shafa. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should listen to Yehuda. So now what happens, and I can only say this to the limit of my understanding, which is incredibly limited. But now the bones of Yehuda now go back into place. In other words, his bones were totally disconnected. That was the rattling. And now the bones go back to place. But still, he has not gained admission into the yeshiva shomala. So the pasuk says, bring him to his people. And understood now midrashically that this means now that Yehuda has now gained entrance and acceptance into the yeshiva shamala. But now he's in the yeshiva, he has no idea what they're saying. They're talking, he's not understanding. So the Yadav Ravlo. So now Moshe's next petition, and that is he's given hands, great hands. And that's understood over here midrashically to mean that basically he's given the tools in which to engage in the yeshiva shamala. However, now that he knows how to talk there, but everything that he's saying is not accepted. In other words, so still there are significant limitations. So the Ezer mitzaratiya, and basically what is that? Now he's going to be girded. He's going to put on a belt. So now that means to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu should help him so that not only is he going to say something, but it's going to be accepted in the base medrash. Okay. The point of all this is that Yehuda admitted, and also Reuven admitted as well. In other words, even though there's no textual support for that in the Pesukim, still, midrashically, we know that Yehuda, in fact, was the motivator for Reuven to come and to admit. Bishlam Yehuda da'odei ki echadol tisarf tamar la Reuven lamalei da'odei v'amar avsheshes chotzif alai demefarid chatei. So the Gemara says now, admitting your sin, and to be clear, public admission of your sin. Meaning, it's one thing, of course, to admit to what you do. In fact, that's part of the tshuva process. Part of the tshuva process is to be makir, to recognize that which you did, and to commit to yourself not to do it again. Vidui, okay. So all that's true, but in other words, not public admission. In other words, what is the point of publicly admitting to what you did? In fact, it's counterproductive. Now, it's true, by the way, the Gemara in Yuma says that there is a difference between Averos that are bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chavero. Bein adam l'chavero, so the Gemara does say over there that you have to go to the person that you wronged and you have to ask for forgiveness, and the Gemara does say that over there you do go public. You do go public. If it's adam, it's bein adam l'chavero. But if it's bein adam l'makom, you do not go public with it. In other words, that's between you and Hashem. So obviously you have tshuva and you have to admit, but not to other people. Yeah, in other words, you speak directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so public admission, so that's something which Rav Sheshet says, chotzif alai demefarid chatei. It's a chutzpah to go ahead and to publicly admit that which you did wrong. Okay. There's no need for it. There's no point for it. And if anything, it's going to be disparaging of the act that you did. So runs counter to a lot of our... Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says like this. I understand by Yehuda there was a purpose in him admitting it. So Deloti Sarif Tamar, so that Tamar doesn't get burnt. In other words, right now Tamar's life is at stake. So without him admitting that he is in fact the father, so then the Tamar would have been burnt. So I understand. So over here, a public admission is necessary so that Tamar won't die. That part I get. But as far as Reuven is concerned, so what was the point of Reuven, admitting it? So the Gemara says, Ke'echidol alich shadu achoi. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you why. And so that is none of the brothers will be suspected. Meaning, again, let's go with the moving of the beds. It'll be a little bit easier to talk like that. Right? And so let's say the beds were moved. Okay, fine, the beds were moved. So now Yaakov now knows where that his bed is where? Not where he put it. Somebody moved it. Okay, so now, who's the culprit? So now in the lineup right now, you have all of his sons under suspicion. So Reuven says that over here, public admission in general is a chutzpah, and nobody should engage in public admission. However, when I admit it, that's going to remove all suspicion over all the other brothers. Worth it. Worth it. So in other words, if there's a good reason for public admission, so then you do public admission, like by the case of Yehuda and Tamar, like by the case of Reuben and his brothers. Otherwise, there's no point in public admission, and just the opposite. It's a chutzpah to publicly admit that which he did wrong.
The penalty for one is much different than the other.
Too many pronouns. Which one, which other?
Well, Tamar, she was going to die.
Right.
And moving the bed, I don't think is...
But the fact that Yaakov suspects now all the sons...
I understand, but I'm just saying the ramification...
Okay, they're not the same. Agreed. They're not the same. But as long as there is a positive benefit, a real positive benefit in terms of admitting, so that's a counter consideration, and that warrants a public admission. We're going to stop over here tomorrow. We're going to pick it up at the two dots. Let's do a recap. Let's do a review. Okay, we finished up yesterday's daf regarding confounding variables. She'll drink the water. Nothing's going to happen to her, even though she was with the man. Okay, and that's confounding and that's confusing. But that's what I describe as confounding variables. And we're going to come back to this topic later in the Masechta as well. So the Gemara notes that one of the confounding variables of yesterday's daf, Sota daf of, that's yesterday, so is Edim b'Medina Sayam. Witnesses actually saw the event, but right now they're overseas. So, but as long as they're out there, so then the water's not going to be bodek. That was yesterday's daf in a sentence. And today we just finished it up. Rav Sheshe said it, and the Gemara quoted a brace at the tail end of the whole sugya, agreeing with Rav Sheshe, but from a different pasuk. Not the pasuk that Rav Sheshe darshaned. Okay. Then, over the course of today's daf, we saw not one, but two mishnayos that took us through the step-by-step process of, now that she's a sota, right, revealed to be a sota in her hometown, now what? So now we're going to take her from her hometown to Yerushalayim, with or without escort, so subject to a debate. We spoke a little bit this morning about the Hilchus of Yichud, as they were traveling up to Yerushalayim. Where in Yerushalayim are they going? To the Makom, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. She's going to be standing trial in front of the great Sanhedrin. How do we know that? The answer is Gzeira Shava. And now we're going to try our best to get her to admit what she did. Admission is good. Why? It saves us from erasing Hashem's name. And so we'd rather just simply have her admit it. Obviously, that will induce a divorce. It will forfeit her ksuva. And obviously, right, stain her reputation forever. So it's not going to be easy for her to admit, but that's what we're going to try to do. Exactly where she's going to be positioned in the Beis HaMikdash, we went over that this morning as well. And then the degradation. The tearing of her clothing, the undoing of her hair, more of that in detail is going to be discussed in the upcoming Dapim, but we did the Mishnah this morning that described the process. And yes, in other words, things are going to be revealed in the Beis HaMikdash that under normal circumstances are not to be revealed, but part of the process is that people are going to be there, encouraged to be there, the women are encouraged to be there, they're going to see it, and so you talk about a model lesson. Okay. Then... in the course of the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went over the Gzeira Shava. We were confused for a moment. We are encouraging her to admit, and then we're encouraging her to drink. Well, which one? And the answer is very simple. Depends where we're at. Before the erasing of Hashem's name, please admit. After erasing Hashem's name, okay, please drink. I'm using the word please, by the way, nicely over here. Okay, and then finally the Mishnah described that we're going to tell her things that shouldn't be said, but we're going to say it. And that is that we talk about the indiscretions of our avos, and that they admitted they came clean, and it's okay. In other words, it's good to admit. And Yehuda admitted, and he was rewarded both in this world and the world to come. Same thing with Reuven. And so, using them as models, meaning that's obviously, they are model citizens for us, and they are imperfect, and that's fine. You go over their imperfections, and they go over the fact that they went through a tshuva process. You could do it as well.
She lived the opposite.